Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Pouring into week number four, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci talking about our best plays for the day. We're joined from Toronto. Oh, we're waiting on Big Gabe. He's supposed to be calling in about 2 minutes, I believe.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about some of the earlier plays. Somebody asked about what the best total is for the early action. It's not a lot of games. I like this total here at Pittsburgh, North Carolina. I expect Pittsburgh to bounce back in a big way. I know they didn't cover last week. Well, actually, they did
over Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, excuse me. A lot of people on North Carolina here because of the Hurricane Florence and people backing North Carolina. I can't do it here. I think Pitt got its feet wet, you know, against Penn State. I was on that. They bounced back with a gutty win last week. I expect them to roll here. I do feel that they dominate this matchup. I could see them winning 10 to 13 points.
Joe, I can't figure out either of these teams. I mean, I would not bet Pitt or North Carolina for the foreseeable future. I can't figure out either of these teams. And North Carolina is still dealing with suspensions. Yeah. They're getting more players back this week. Yeah, I mean, so it's still Nate Elliott. I'd rather have Billy Elliott under center at this point, so.
Billy Elliott. Well, live from Toronto, our cohort, rocking Gabe Morenci. Gabe, how are you today?
Gabe, are you in a bunker somewhere in Toronto?
We're outside the Metalworks Studios, the world-famous Metalworks Studios, the same location where Guns N' Roses recorded Use Your Illusion, and the lovely Christina Aguilera has recorded platinum records here as well. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We want to know if we're going to be on like the video, the music video, when you cut the record. Are you going to put us in there?
You have to be nicer to me, Joe.
That's it. I'm going to be on the outside looking in then.
Does that mean Sermonello has a shot?
Does Sermonello have a shot?
Well, Rich, you're a smart guy. Maybe you can be our business advisor or something like that.
We could use all the help we could get.
We could use all the help. But yeah, I'm looking right now. Drake. Drake is recorded here. I guess it's a platinum record. He recorded Take Care. Here, evidently, I don't know that song. I'm not gonna
lie.
Well,
I'm a big GNR fan, so yeah, a little Welcome to the Jungle action.
Well, you know what? I took a picture of the Use Your Illusion platinum record on the wall here. Like, they should have all the artists, the platinum records here, which we will not be one of them. But nevertheless, it's a good time. I miss you guys though. We'll be back next week to break it down and talk some college football.
Gabe, these games are all over the place in terms of total. Somebody just asked what my best total was for earlier today. I mean, I'm on a couple of totals. I like Georgia Tech and Clemson, but nothing really jumps out at the 12 o'clock total. Do you have any picks early on here?
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I'm going to come out swinging early, actually, with the totals. And I'm going to go over in this Georgia and Missouri game. I know all about Georgia's defense, and I know all about the talent that they have, but Missouri's offense is a first-class offense. Drew Locke, I think, is the number one quarterback as far as the NFL is concerned, and top projected quarterback. I think Missouri's a live dog here in this game. You know, everyone sort of, when the public all gets on something, Joe, and you know this, and you know it too, Rich, it's scary. You know, oh, Michigan's going to beat Notre Dame for sure. Remember going into that game, Shea Patterson, and oh, Wimbush can't throw the football. Michigan's going to win that game for sure. Oh, look, LSU are terrible. Miami are going to beat them. And then we fell into that trap with that South Carolina game. Throughout the summer, that's a dangerous game. And we sort of talk ourselves into these upsets because of the narrative. Yet, Here, no one's talking themselves into this upset. And this is when these crazy things happen. You guys know, man, crazy stuff has happened up there at Mizzou on Saturday afternoons in the past. It's an early game. I think Georgia can sort of get caught here and get in a track meet. And when I have, you know, when I'm taking an underdog, I don't want to take an underdog that can't throw the ball from behind. You know, I need a quarterback that can play pitch and catch. And hey, I'm getting 14 and a half points. If I'm down by 20 points in the fourth quarter, I got a quarterback that I know that can connect with a big strike, you know, hit Hall down the field and get me back in this game for the backdoor cover. So I'm going to take Missouri plus the points. I already put my bet in, and I'm taking the over in this football game as well.
Let's get right to it, Gabe. I mean, let's talk best bets of the day. I'm going to call it Redemption Saturday for Gabe Morency. I'm just going to turn you loose and say, who do you like today, regardless of the time of the games?
It is redemption. Well, let's not forget that we were on, we did have San Diego State. You remember when people asked us, what's the money line upset last week? We said San Diego State over Arizona State, so it wasn't all bad, Rich. Come on, man.
It was not all bad, but I know you well enough, my brother. You are looking for redemption.
I am. I'm not going to lie. It's just been such a wild college football season so far. But as we stated, all right, we're gonna jump on this Georgia-Missouri game over 65. We're going to jump on the Missouri Tigers plus the 14 points. I'm selective today. We're going to scroll down here. And we're going to go, we're taking Kentucky. We're taking Kentucky in this football game. We took Kentucky against Florida. People doubted the Pitt. People doubt Kentucky. Stoops doing a great job here. I have a lot of respect for Mississippi State and Moorhead and the program. I got a soft spot in my heart for them. I've been there before. I have a good friend that lived there. May he rest in peace. But I just think that this Kentucky team is the real deal, and getting 9.5, 10 points on their home field is just a little bit too much. Alabama and Texas A&M, I'm going over the number in this game. I mean, come on, man. Alabama are averaging 56 points. What is it, Joe? 56.8, I believe?
Yeah, something off the top of my head, but 56.8 points per game. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, you know, how can I not take a total over at 60 here? You know, guys, I'm curious on your take on this one. Talking about narratives, flat spot for LSU this week with Louisiana Tech going in here.
I agree. I know. Oh, I totally agree. It's not one of our signature games today, but, you know, I look at that LSU team. I have a ton of respect. Joe has been on LSU all season. He was right. I was wrong. I thought this team would be down, but they're not. They have the two top 10 wins, but I totally agree with you. This is a perfect spot for LSU to sort of sleepwalk through three quarters against Louisiana Tech. Let's face it, they're not blowing teams out at this point. Joe Burrow still completing less than 50% of his passes, and Louisiana Tech and Skip Holtz, they know how to play well against Big Ten. I could see Louisiana Tech covering this game.
You said the two key words. Rich said the two key words
Skip
for
Holtz.
Me. Skip Holtz. I can't do it. I know they struggled with Troy, Gabe, but I can't take that game in any capacity. It wouldn't shock me if they're focused. I mean, this is a team, you said it last week too when we picked Auburn, they have a chip on their shoulder. Everybody's expecting them to lose, and this is a team that's more of just a team mentality. There's not one elite star. They have a guy in Greedy Williams that probably be a number one draft pick, but outside of that, it's more of the team mentality, us against them, and that's why I can't go against LSU. Now, as they navigate through SEC West play, maybe, but at this point, as they're rolling, I can't back them. I mean, go against them, especially with Skip Holtz and La Tech.
And you know what, guys? Normally, I'm not one of these guys, and I hate it when people say, oh, I would bet it if it was 18, but not at 17 and a half. You know, I hate when people, so you like to play that much that a half point throws you off of it? But I'm going to be that guy right now. And then earlier in the week, guys, we're getting 21 points. That is a key number. You know, 21 points is a key number. The three touchdowns and you know, the extra points, et cetera. Down to 19 right now. Wouldn't shock me, like Joe just stated. LSU are that good. Would it surprise us if LSU won this game by 20 points? No. You know, 48-28, 38-18. No, it wouldn't shock me. You know, I'm put off, number one, by the fact that everybody is buying into this narrative. And I'm put off, number two, by the fact I'm not getting 21. Anymore. Notre Dame, I know about the quarterback situation, but you know, let's be real. Wake Forest are not a very good football team, okay? Their defense is not very good. I think Notre Dame, I like it. Don't love it. I'm going to take Texas, though, plus three. I think coming off this win, you know, it's tough. TCU's coming off the emotional loss. Texas coming off the emotional win. But for gaming purposes, and anyone tuning into the show knows just how good Tom Herman is as an underdog. I'm going to take the South Carolina Gamecocks. I like them against Vanderbilt. We were on Liberty in week one. And shout out to my boy Big Man on Campus for, you know, sort of reminding me about Liberty here, because, you know, they lost in week two. I didn't take them against Army. They've been off right now. Now they're back home. I think they're a nice sleeper at home here. Maybe we don't mess with Liberty when they go on the road. But I think it's sort of like Old Dominion was a couple of years ago. When you get these sort of new, fresh programs, there's still a lot of enthusiasm with the student base. And there is a lot of enthusiasm around Liberty. Don't forget, you know, they smashed Old Dominion in their first game. And finally, in closing tonight, man, we got Hawaii and Duquesne on the board. And didn't UMass hang like a 65 spot? didn't they hang like a 65 spot on the D? So I think Hawaii is going to score a boatload of points here tonight. I'm going to go over the numbers. So I've got Missouri plus 14.5, Missouri, Georgia over the 65, Notre Dame minus 6, Texas plus 3, A&M and Alabama over 60, South Carolina minus the 2.5, Liberty plus 12.5, Kentucky plus 9.5, and Duquesne and Hawaii over 68.
Hey, Gabe, I got two plays that I just started looking at, and it could be a parlay for our users right now at 12 o'clock. I want to get your take on it, because it's one of the teams that you were high on at the start of the year in Pittsburgh. They opened up as a 4.5-point favorite. Now it's down to 3.5. A lot of people back in North Carolina here, I like Pittsburgh to roll. I was very impressed with them last week playing Georgia Tech. And the other game is Navy on the road against SMU. They're a favorite. I'm not buying into Navy being this elite team and beating up on more finesse type of teams. I'm taking Ben Hicks and Sonny Dykes here. How about a Pittsburgh SMU parlay with SMU on the money line?
Well, I tell you what, Joe, I like your style here. And right now, and thanks for bringing this game up, because like I said, I've been on the road this week. We're doing a heavy metal record. I got my super contest NFL picks in. I got these college games, but there's games that are falling through the cracks, obviously, and that's why you got to tune into the College Football Today program every Saturday morning with Joe Rich and myself. Navy SMU, seeing the total at 59, Joe, down to 57.5, just literally, you know, as I hit refresh right now. And how is there not points in this football game? How are there not points? And I hear you. This isn't a great Navy team. I'm not overly in love with that. My problem is Sonny Dykes. You were talking about Skip Holtz. Sonny Dykes is just not a guy, Joe, that I like having my money on. You know, he just isn't. And this program, SMU, if you bet SMU every week, man, you're going to end up living under the Brooklyn Bridge. So that's my problem. That's my problem with this. But I like where you're going. You know, live home dog here. You know, total down to 57.5. And, you know, I've been saying this all year. Pitt's a good football team. I guess Penn State just are that good. And you really have to like the way Pitt responded after getting blasted like that. All right, guys, no, we're not going to let our season fall apart here because we got beat up by Penn State. They got back on track. And I like them today as well. I mean, North Carolina, you know, we know about the problems that they have. Yeah, it's tough laying the points with Pitt here in a spot like this on the road, but Pitt's just a better football team. I think they are a good football team. It didn't make my best bet list, but I'm going to jump on. I like the Navy SMU over here, guys. I'm going to jump in on that.
Gabe, we've had a lot of fun in the first few weeks talking about Herm Edwards, early success at ASU, big loss last week against San Diego State. Were you as surprised as I was? I obviously expected Washington to be a heavy favorite, but 17.5 points against ASU, especially considering the fact that the Sun Devils have owned the Huskies over the past dozen years.
Yeah, it is a lot of points. It goes to show, it really highlights the week-to-week status of the public and the betting markets. Because, you know, really, in reality, the odds makers aren't setting these numbers because of what they think. Right, they'll sort out a power ranking, but they're actually setting the numbers for what they think people are going to bet and how people are going to bet these games. And another good call, late night action here with Arizona State and Washington. It is a ton of points. I think it's too many points. It was a bad spot last week for Arizona State, and that's why we're on SDSU. You know, Washington just are that good, but their offense, you know, their defense is great. They're going to shut ASU down for the most part, but you know, you don't need to score all that much. I would go with the underdog here. You know, it was a tough spot for Herm Edwards and his kids to be in after the great start and national attention. Now they can get back to basics. I would go underdog or pass here. I agree, Rich.
When you look at totals, too, there's a couple other totals later today I brought up to Rich. I like that Georgia Tech total. I mean, nobody's expecting a triple-option team in Georgia Tech. They struggled with 19 points last week. They ran the football well against USF and did have a high-scoring game, but it's Clemson. Clemson shut them down over the last couple of years. I'm on this over. What do you think of it? I mean, it opened at 54, down to like 52, 52.5 as we speak.
You know, I wanted to play Clemson here. I've been waiting for Clemson to show up and just kick the crap out of somebody. And I'm not talking about Georgia Southern. I'm talking about showing up for real. I can't go any over in this game, Joe, just because I respect Clemson's defense so much. And I think that Clemson can shut Georgia Tech down. You know, Georgia Tech are just such a one-dimensional football team. You know, I really don't know what their offense is going to be able to do. Look, like last year, they scored 10 points. Year before, Georgia Tech scored 7 points. You know, 17 points in the last two games. With Clemson's defense, as good as it is, if there's no legitimate passing threat, it's really hard to run that option and to run what they want to do. And, you know, Dabo Swinney knows this Paul Johnson offense inside out. You know, and you look at the history books here. Clemson have generally dominated them, 24-10, 26-7, 43-24, 28-6. I was this close, guys. I was real close. I'm holding my thumb and my finger together here right now. You can't see. But I was real close to saying, you know what, I would have bet on Clemson this week. But I hate laying favorites on the road. But it wouldn't shock me if Clemson, you know, lower scoring, actually, you know, 31-10, you know, sort of like the scores that we just mentioned here. I don't think that Georgia Tech's going to be able to move the football, but I don't want to lay 16 points.
All right. Great information, Gabe. We'll see you next week in studio. As always, great insight and information from one of the best, Gabe Morenci. When we come back, we'll be joined by Sports Brokers Vice President Jamie Heath, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello live from Studio 34. Keep it where it is.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on College Football Today, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, brought to you by BetDSI. We're joined on our celebrity guest line by Sports Brokers Vice President Jamie Heath, turning outcomes into incomes. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm great, guys. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. It's week number 4. It's conference play. I mean, I know you're looking at 3 games in particular today, but, I mean, the landscape of conference play, does it change how you handicap these games?
Absolutely, Joe. It really does. You know, obviously the first couple of weeks, a lot of these so-called big shot teams, such as the Alabamas of the world or whatever, the Ohio States of the world, they get to play a couple of teams that pretty much they can lay whatever they want on them. It's pretty much a scrimmage in the case of some of these teams. Like I was telling you last week with Miami playing a Division II school in Savannah State, they beat them 77-0. It was pretty much a tune-up game to get into the conference schedule. So, yeah, it's a much different playing field. A couple teams actually got into the conference schedule early in the season with the likes of Georgia playing against South Carolina in Week 2. So some of these teams already have gotten a taste of conference play, but most of them are getting a taste of it this week and the following weeks to come.
Well, Jamie, that's a perfect segue. Georgia played South Carolina, key SEC East showdown. They've got another one today in Columbia, second Columbia trip, this time in Missouri. What are your thoughts on the Bulldogs and the Tigers?
Exactly, Rich. My thoughts, number one, I watched Missouri a lot this year. I was on Missouri a couple weeks ago when they played Wyoming. Last week they went into Purdue, and it was pretty much a shootout. They gave up almost 600 yards passing to Blau, the quarterback of Purdue, a total of almost 700 yards on offense. Now the Georgia Bulldogs are coming into town. You're talking about a quarterback in Eric Fromm, who's, I think his percentage so far this year, completion percentage, is about 80%, which is unheard of. Georgia right now is rolling. They look amazing on both sides of the field. Their defense is playing great. I know Drew Locke obviously is going to put up some numbers today, and they're going to probably score some points too. But again, like I was telling you last week, when Alabama was playing Mississippi, that Alabama would pretty much score every possession. I see the same happening today with Georgia. I really like Georgia big in this game, and I see the game pretty much going like last year, maybe close early. It was 21-21 last year until Georgia pulled away. I see Georgia scoring at least 50, if not 60 points in this game, because I don't believe Missouri has any defense to keep up with them.
You are a wise man, Jamie.
Wow. Wow.
Joe and I have been butting heads throughout the first hour of the show because I'm all over Georgia. Well, Joe does like Missouri.
Yes, I do like Missouri, but we'll see. You never know how these games are played. That's why they play the games. Jamie, we know before we get into the other SEC battle between Alabama and Texas A&M, I mean, you're hot as a pistol, and we know what you're offering clients. Tell them what they can do in terms of buying your packages later today.
Well, okay. Thanks, Joe. Yes. Today, I actually have two dogs today that are getting at least seven, if not more, points that are going to win on the field outright. I have two games today I absolutely love. I want all your listeners to call 1-800-220-6262 or visit my website, thesportsbrokers.com. I want you to get these two games. Like you said, I am on fire right now, and I love these two games today. They're going to win outright on the field. I have two big dogs today that are winning on the field today. Call 1-800-220-6262. Get these two winners.
Let's talk about that battle in Tuscaloosa. Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M played very well. Jimbo Fisher wasn't there, but Sumlin and the crew played very well against Alabama. Lost that game by 8 points. Did cover the total last year as a home dog. They now go on the road. They didn't cover their last time there. They lost 33-14 as an 18-point underdog with Trevor Knight. How do you see this game playing out later today?
You know, Joe, I looked at this game when the line came out, and I saw the spread anywhere from 24 to 27. I believe right now the spread's around 26. And I'm like, oh, my God, how could you lay 26 points to Texas A&M? They just lost only by two to Clemson. First of all, Texas A&M's gotten robbed by their schedule. They have to play two playoff teams in the first 4 weeks, Clemson and Alabama. Not too fair. This is Texas A&M's first road game, and it's also their first conference game. And it's against Alabama. Number one, when I first looked at it, like I said, I'm like, wow, I got to go with Texas A&M. But the more and more I look at this game, I see Alabama. First of all, they've outscored their opponents 170-28 in their first three games, 117-7 in the first half of games. These guys haven't even played a full game. Tua's pretty much out after the half. The running back, Harris, is pretty much out after the half. This might be Nick Saban's best team he's ever had. That's how loaded this team looks to me. I honestly feel, now I know Kelly Mond presents a problem possibly as far as running and this and that, but I think Alabama's got their best offensive line they've ever had, their best defensive line they've ever had. I see them absolutely murdering this team. And if I have to go with Alabama until I see a team that actually can challenge this team, I have to pretty much go with Alabama.
It's so fascinating, Jamie, because we're going to really have a good time watching in the subsequent weeks what lines makers do. Because if they torch an A&M team that lost by just 2 points to Clemson, it was at Texas A&M. I mean, once they start playing weaker opponents, I mean, you're going to be seeing five touchdown spreads. It's stunning. And I agree, this team, because they've never had an offense like they do right now. The defense is always stout, but now you have that offensive production. They've scored at least 51 in three straight games. This is just quite a machine that they have down in Tuscaloosa. Let me turn our attention to the
Everyone's saying that this quarterback might be the best they've ever had in this Tua. Everyone's raving about how good he is, and we haven't even really seen him play.
I think the numbers will bear that out, too, because if you look at the Nick Saban era, they're marginal Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron-type quarterbacks. Tua's on a completely different level. I'm going to shift over to the Pac-12. Very intrigued by the Stanford-Oregon game. Big game in terms of the Pac-12 North. Stanford is tested. Oregon has not won a big game in a while. Does that change tonight?
Okay, well, yes. Let's get into that game. First off, though, I do want to go back to what I was telling you guys out there. I have two games, two dogs that are going to win outright today. I want you to call 1-800-220-6262. Visit my website, thesportsbrokers.com. Get these two winners. Going to this Stanford Oregon game, Rich, you called, you basically said it just now what I had to say to you guys out there. Stanford is a battle-tested team, okay? They've already played the likes of San Diego State. They've already played the likes of USC, even though USC does not look like the USC of old. Obviously, we see that. Getting blown out by Texas last week and barely beating Washington State last night. On the other hand, Oregon, this is like, what, their fourth coach in like the last 8 years? It seems like it's a coaching carousel. They got a great quarterback in Justin Herbert. This is Oregon's first major test they've actually had. It's a marquee game, a conference game. Their first three games were against a bunch of cupcakes. I think they played Bowling Green, Portland State, and last week they barely beat San Jose State. Now, maybe they didn't want to show too much off because they're playing Stanford this week, but I think this is going to become a coach's game where David Shaw has a major advantage. I feel the defense, Stanford has a much better defense than Oregon. I see Bryce Love having a field day, even though Oregon's supposedly got a stout defensive line. I see KJ Costello coming through with a couple of key passes to win this game by at least 10 points, if not more. I like Stanford to win this game.
Jamie, when you look at the landscape, do you feel that teams get up for conference games if you get a lackluster effort, let's say week one, two, or three, that they seem to turn it on if they're struggling and have more emotion as conference play rolls around? And does that affect your handicapping in any capacity?
Absolutely, it does, especially when it comes to certain, you know, like you were saying, certain teams, when they look at their schedule, they're like, oh, boy, we're playing, you know, whoever it is. In the case of, like, Ohio State, they're playing Tulane this week. Next week, they have a huge game against Penn State, so I don't see much focus when it comes to a team like that. Now, obviously, Ohio State has the athletes. I mean, they could name the score probably today. But really, Joe, when you're talking about conference games, it's just a whole different element, a whole different ball game. When you're talking about Ohio State, Penn State next week, when you're going to be going against McSorley in that stadium, in Beaver Stadium, it's a whole different ball. It's a whole different playing field. And that's why I honestly feel that teams that take on the tough games to begin with in the schedule, like an LSU, look what LSU did. They scheduled Miami their first game. Now what happens? They go and knock off Auburn last week in Auburn. I mean, you got to give kudos to LSU scheduling.
Yeah, and it pays off. Once you get to October, November, teams are battle-tested. One of the reasons why I love to tap into your beautiful mind, Jamie, is to be able to ask you some questions outside of just matchups. I really want your take on this subject. How much stock do you put into trends? I'll give you an example. Like Arizona State has won 10 of the last 11 against Washington. Now we know Washington has more talent in 2018 than Arizona State. But in terms of trends over the past 5 years, 10 years, how much does that factor in when you begin to break down games?
That's excellent question, Rich. Excellent question. A lot of people and a lot of handicappers such as myself really put a lot of stock into trends over things that have happened the last 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, whatever it is. You know, X team has beaten this team at home 10 straight times, this and that. I don't put as much stock into the trends as most handicappers because, number one, a lot of the players that are playing weren't even with these teams, obviously, when all these things were happening. Coaches change, you know. There's a lot of coaches that coach for years. All of a sudden, they retire, they get fired, whatever. It's a whole different element. You can hold all different play calls. You know, you can have a spread offense. Then all of a sudden, you could have a run and shoot, for instance. You can have a team that you know, the quarterback's behind the center, the next coach has him in shotgun. So I really honestly, you know, because trends obviously make a big difference, and that's where a lot of the betting comes from, and you see a lot of the lines move on trends, but I think a lot of that happens to be false.
Jamie, when you're looking at the actual, if you're betting a college football Saturday, I mean, it gives you many opportunities, unlike the NFL where you only have a 1 o'clock start and then obviously the 4:25 and then one game at 8 o'clock. So you only really have three opportunities to make money. College football, a little bit different. You have 12 o'clock kicks. You have 1 o'clock kicks, 2 o'clock kicks, depending upon time zones. Obviously, 3:30, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So you have a lot of opportunity to really make some money, not only for clients, but if you're dabbling in watching college football each week. So, I mean, do you have a game plan that, you know, you follow in terms of a 12 o'clock scenario, 3:30, or that you could educate some people that are new to the gambling world in terms of that capacity?
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you say that because college football is, and that's why I feel it's the best sport to bet out of any sport. Because like you said, you have the 12 o'clock. My windows, when I do this, I have the 12 o'clock games. Obviously there's a couple of games that start around 2 or 3 o'clock, but obviously the 3:30s, there's a ton of games at 3:30. Then around 7, there's a ton of games. And then like you said, the get-out games, so to speak, the 10 o'clock West Coast games. And then even if Hawaii's playing at night, you even have another get-out game. That's what makes this sport the best sport to bet on. And I do actually plan as far as my clients and this and that, on the day of me giving out games. My major thing about lines and stuff like that, though, I normally get out what I see. Like, for instance, I'll give you a great example. Last night, Florida Atlantic was playing Central Florida. The total opened up at 68. Obviously, I love the over. It moved up as much as 77. It came back at 75. My clients get my personal best plays that Monday when the lines come out, or Sunday night. But like what you were saying just before, as far as the rotation, 12 o'clocks, obviously I want to focus on the 12 o'clocks. 3:30s, when I see lines move, I obviously get my clients the games then, and then obviously go from there with the 7 o'clocks and then the 10 o'clocks. So it's the best format there is in sports betting as far as I'm concerned.
Jamie Foulkes is consistently turning outcomes into incomes. One more time, Jamie, why don't you give that number out to our audience so they could begin to cash in on those 12 o'clock games?
You got it. Absolutely. My number is 1-800-220-6262. Or visit my website, thesportsbrokers.com. And like you were just saying, I turn outcomes into incomes. Get on these two games right now. Two winners given to you. Call 1-800-220-6262.
Jamie, before we let you go, break a little tie for us if you can. Give us a take on Texas. Now, I think last week was a bit of an aberration. Joe is on Texas, believes that they have turned the corner after the big win against USC. What's your take on Tom Herman and the Longhorns as they head into their big showdown with TCU?
Well, this is Texas's first, I believe, conference game, as it is for the Horned Frogs at TCU. Texas laid a complete egg their first game. It was against Maryland, I want to say. And then I think they, I forget who they played in week two. They struggled. Like, they won the game. It might have been against Tulsa. And they've looked awful, Tulsa. They played against Arkansas State at home last week. They looked terrible. As well as the other night against Temple, they didn't look too good. So I really don't give much credence into that win. Then they beat a USC team who, again, with a freshman quarterback, we talked about them last week when I said to you that Stanford was going to roll, or 2 weeks ago when they were going to roll over them. I don't give much credence into that win. Meanwhile, TCU, they just played probably the second or third best team in the country last week, and they were pretty much toe-to-toe with them. They were beating them most of the game, a lot of the game, until the fourth quarter. I guess they ran out of gas. So I honestly give the advantage here, even though the game's a road game, I give the advantage to Gary Patterson and his TCU Horned Frogs to win this game, because I think he's a better coach than Herman, number one. I feel they have a better team than Texas, and we're going to see it tonight. I honestly think that Texas is a little overrated after these two wins.
Well, Jamie, great insight and information. We'll see how that game plays out at 3:30. We can't wait to see what picks you have for us next week. Great luck today, and knock them dead.
Hey, you guys too. Great luck to you. Good speaking to you. I can't wait to talk next week to you guys.
Great insight and information.
Jamie's terrific. I love those spots with Jamie.
He is. Yeah. And he's right about if you're going to wager. I really believe college football and college basketball are the two best sports. It gives you an opportunity where if you lose the early games, you have an opportunity to at least get it back if you're a good handicapper, or at least have good analysis and approach in terms of that.
Well, and what I love about gambling with college football is there's so many small teams, small games. I think this is a sport where you really, if you do your homework, if you dig a little bit deeper, there are gems to be found. We've done that throughout the month of September, and dare I say, we'll continue to do that throughout the winter.
Oh, we're going to be bucking heads all day long today. I mean, I know. And just to give viewers an update, that Notre Dame game is a 12 o'clock kick. I thought it was at 3:30 for some reason. It's a 12 o'clock kick, so about 23 minutes before Ian Book gets to start on the road in Winston-Salem. We're just getting started. We got about an hour and a half left. We'll be picking it up in Big 12 play, West Virginia, K-State. Joe Lisi and Rich Simonello live from Studio 34.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Great action, great music.
Little House of Pain.
Yeah, loving it.
Joey is going to feel some House of Pain today.
Yes, College Football Today brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello. Going to be talking about West Virginia and K-State. But before we do that, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches. No experts to compete against. Just you and the prop. That's what you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY. Upon sign up and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusively single-entry contests. It's fun and a recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. They have great free promos like Survivor, Super Bowl squares, and March Madness bracket contests. Sign up today. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. I'm going to join my bookie later because this matchup is very intriguing. It's West Virginia and K-State. West Virginia and Will Grier, dynamic offense. They got this matchup and victory last year in Manhattan, 28-23 over Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder in Kansas State is struggling right now. They're 16.5, 17-point home underdogs to West Virginia. Excuse me, road underdogs in Morgantown. The game is in Morgantown. West Virginia wins, Rich, but Kansas State comes back to form and pushes Will Grier to the limit later today.
I can see that. Too much offense out of West Virginia. Kansas State's offense has sputtered throughout the month of September. Snyder has not figured out his quarterback situation. He's got a couple in Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson. My big concern is they're not running the ball the way I would expect against better teams. I mean, I thought going into this season they'd have a dominant offensive line. At a minimum, they'd be rolling downhill with Alex Barnes. Hasn't happened. Maybe they get back on track against West Virginia. Just too much firepower for the Mountaineers. I love Will Grier, love watching him play, love his connection with those receivers, and Unfortunately, we missed because of weather that NC State game last week. I really wanted to see that one.
Yeah, hopefully in the future we'll see West Virginia. You never know what happens. I'll say this about Kansas State. I mean, in terms of I picked them at 5-7. We know their their ability to beat up on less competition. But when you think of Kansas State football, you think of the ability to run the football. You think of the ability to stop the run, force turnovers.
Special teams is always good.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's some statistics when you look at K-State. Offensive line, 10 sacks allowed through three games. Wow. -5 in turnover margin. And more importantly, allowing 201 rushing yards per game. I mean, that's a Kansas State defense. That's very untypical of a Wildcat defense under Bill Snyder.
Well, and the one time they played a quality opponent against Mississippi State, they got completely trounced at the line of scrimmage. Kylan Hill ran for more than 200 yards. So, you know, bigger picture, I think it's too many points for Kansas State. I agree with you. I would take the points. West Virginia wins, Kansas State covers. But bigger picture item here is, you know, is this the kind of season where we start to feel like, you know, the game is passing by Bill Snyder? Yeah. Is it time for him to step aside and allow the Kansas State administration to name a successor rather than Snyder trying to get his own son into that
position?
Yeah, I was
just going to say that. I mean, if his son gets a job, I don't feel comfortable with that type of situation.
Go get Brent Venables from Clemson, the defensive coordinator, is a graduate of Kansas State.
I mean, if you could lure him out.
Oh, geez. I don't think he would do that. Why would you go to Manhattan after being at the mountaintop at Oklahoma?
Probably Notre Dame or something. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, too, when you look at teams in terms of conference play. West Virginia was 5-4 last year, won those five games by 8.8 points per game. They lost those four games by 17 points per game against Big 12 competition. You look at Kansas State, 5-4 in Big 12 play. They won those five by 7.5 points per game, lost their four by 9.2 points per game. So this is a team that's starting to go in the opposite direction under Bill Snyder. And I think the speed of West Virginia as well. You have a wide receiver core in Jennings and Sills that could stretch Kansas State's defense vertically. Now, statistically, they're only giving up around 190 passing yards per game, but haven't faced a type of offense like West Virginia and Will Grier. I mean, last year he threw for 372 on that defense. And last year, Kansas State allowed four opponents to pass for over 400. That's the recipe to beating this team.
Yeah, and for those who like trends, the last four games between these two teams decided by a grand total of 13 points. So the games are traditionally close. I think this one will be closer than Vegas has it pegged, but West Virginia has too much firepower.
I can see it going either way. I mean, the only thing is,
I'm not betting on this game. It's not a best bet for me.
I like Kansas State here. Not a best play. I don't have a good feel. I like West Virginia overall, but in this matchup, they could struggle. You look at the last two games against Kansas State. 5-point win in Manhattan. Last time in Morgantown, they won this ball game 17-16, but did not cover the number. Kansas State was close to a 10-point underdog in that battle and did cover on the road, pushed West Virginia and Holgorsen to the limit. We'll turn our attention to the game in the Big House. It's Michigan and Nebraska. Nebraska and Scott Frost, 0-2 for the first time, Rich, since 1957.
Wow.
And now Adrian Martinez should get the start. They're huge underdogs here. I'm high on Michigan. Michigan wins this ball game, but I'll take the 18.5 points with Nebraska. I don't think it'll be easy. Conference game, they bounce back emotionally. But in the end, it's that front seven led by Rashawn Gary that is the difference.
I agree with your assessment. As long as Martinez is healthy, that's the difference. I mean, they have a walk-on backup quarterback. Nebraska's not the same when Martinez is on the bench. If you have Adrian Martinez running that offense, it's going to be tough against the Don Brown defense, but I think Nebraska covers as well. 18.5 is too many points. I don't love this game, not one of my best bets, but I would take Nebraska as long as the true freshman is under center. My big picture on this one is Michigan beginning to get a little bit closer to the team that we thought they would be? They haven't played much competition, beating up on SMU last week, but this is another opportunity to bag that first Big Ten win and start to gradually become the team that could compete in the Big Ten East.
Well, here's the thing as well. I mean, we spoke about Nebraska earlier in the year. Worst rushing offense and defense in 20 years in Nebraska football. I didn't think it would be a one-year fix for Scott Frost. Now, entering this ballgame, Nebraska's only allowing 94 rushing yards per game, but they're going to be tested up front by a physical offensive line. Higdon and Evans are going to look to run the football, and Shea Patterson's going to look to attack that Nebraska defense that's giving up well over 250 passing yards per game. Montez blew them up for 332 in week number two. So we'll see if Patterson could do that. But here's the recipe as well. You look at Michigan's defense, only giving up 121 rushing yards per game. More importantly, only 154 passing yards to opposing offenses and quarterbacks, and holding opposing quarterbacks, Rich, to 34% on third down conversions. With a young quarterback, Don Brown going to look to mix it up in terms of blitz packages, and that's what I look for. I could see this game going either way. Nebraska's going to need to run the football, though, but in the end, Michigan does get the W and goes to 3-1.
Yeah, and nobody should be panicking about Scott Frost. This was a perfect hire. I think there are a lot of first-year coaches, Joe, across the country where people are, you know, jumping ship after two or three games. Chip Kelly, tough start. Willie Taggart, brutal start at Florida State. But everybody needs to settle down. Yeah. I mean, you've got new players. It's year one. Don't push the panic button. Scott Frost will be fine long term, especially with this quarterback. Yes. I think Martinez is going to be fantastic. We saw glimpses of it in the opener against Colorado. But remember, those are two close losses against Colorado and Troy. And you know, Martinez didn't finish the first game, so maybe it would have been a different outcome. Didn't play against Troy, maybe it would have been a different outcome. So it's possible Nebraska could be 2-0 instead of 0-2. So Huskers will be fine long term. This is a tough spot at Michigan, especially with Shea Patterson beginning to play a little bit better.
And just to talk about coaches, you talk about personnel. Chip Kelly, again, defensively, never a defensive guru. That was the MO under Mora, a defensive head coach. So I think out of all three coaches that you mentioned in terms of Scott Frost, Chip Kelly, Taggart, I give the pass to Taggart and Scott Frost, because you look at the personnel perspective, different types of schemes. Nebraska didn't run sideline to sideline in terms of utilizing a lot of options and motion in their offensive scheme with Riley as head coach. That's what Scott Frost likes to do. And then with Taggart, you went from a pro-style offense under Jimbo Fisher to now a more five-wide shotgun type of offense with DeAndre Francois, who was hurt. So, again, it's a different type of scheme. Chip Kelly, I mean, for the most part, I mean, he's got the pieces there, should have the athletes. I agree with you. I'm not putting this on year number one, but by now they should have had at least one win over Cincinnati. I mean, you would think if you're
sitting. Yeah, sure. I mean, they should have beaten Cincinnati. Listen, you're UCLA. You're a Pac-12 school. You should have beaten Fresno State.
Right.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, you mentioned DeAndre Francois. I was thinking about it this week, Joe. I mean, did you see the clip of Francois just, you know, kind of shunning aside the hand of one of his offensive linemen as he tried to lift him off the turf? If I'm DeAndre Francois after this season in 2016 where he's got no protection, I'm serious. I would be transferring.
I think he should.
I would be getting out. Because they can't give him an offensive line. The kid is very talented and nobody blocks him. I mean, Syracuse does not have a dominant front seven, and they abuse that Florida State offensive line. Now this week it's Northern Illinois and Sutton Smith. You know, Florida State, double-digit favorite in that game. That's going to be an interesting matchup.
I like Florida State. Yeah, I'll just say this, I tweeted it out last week, and I was dead wrong. Great call with Syracuse. I was wrong on Florida State, had a wrong read. To save this season, though, in my opinion, I think he has to go with Blackman. I really do. I think he's the better player that fits the type of scheme. He's a more mobile. DeAndre Francois, coming from IMG, was a pure pocket passer. He was a guy that would stay in the pocket, look down his reads and progressions, and that's what Jimbo Fisher wanted. That's not what Willie Taggart recruits. Now, let's think about it. Quentin Flowers at USF, mobile quarterback, can improvise on the perimeter. Blackman, now, he's not Quentin Flowers, but he's more mobile than Francois in terms of you can roll him out to make do for the offensive line, to at least give him time to make plays. They can't. He has no time to look down his receivers, and that's why they're losing games. Front seven is playing fantastic. They're holding opposing offenses to 120 rushing yards per game. If it wasn't for that front seven, they'd be blown. I mean, even worse, they'd be blown out of each and every game. When all you do is get three and outs, you're not going to win.
See, Joe, but with Blackman, you're talking about, you know, you're looking to cure the symptom. You got to cure the problem. The problem is the offensive line. My concern about Blackman, I think Blackman has a bright future as well, is he's built like Gabe Morenci. I mean, he's he's like, this is James Blackman. I mean, if you can't protect this.
But he's more mobile.
He's also pretty young. I don't know if he has a great pocket presence. They have to get some junior college offensive linemen in there. They need some quick fixes in 2019, because this is an issue that Jimbo had at the end of his tenure, and now Willie Taggart inherited it and did not coach those kids up. So Florida State in a bad spot. And listen, they bailed on the program last year. I think if they struggle against Northern Illinois today, if they lose that game today, I think you could see them bailing the rest of the way this year.
We have about 5 minutes. I want to go through some best bets in case people didn't pick up on it for 12 o'clock. Yours is Georgia. I'm against you with Missouri. I like Notre Dame. I like Purdue, and I like Louisville. I like all three of those dogs, but I like Louisville and Purdue on the money line as well.
The best. Was Louisville your best of that four, you think?
Louisville and Missouri out of the underdogs. Okay. I like Louisville to win the game. I took them plus 170 on the money line. I really love Notre Dame. I mean, they're at 6.5 now, which is great, under a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Winbush does play, though. Even though Book starts, maybe. They need his legs on the perimeter.
Different quarterbacks.
Yes.
You have very different looks, one a little more mobile than the other. And, again, I'll be curious to see what Ian Book can do to spice up that passing game and get those receivers.
Is he aggressive, too, Chip Brian?
He might be. He might open up the playbook a little bit. Also realizing that Wake Forest defense just got trashed by Boston College, both on the ground and through the air. So if you're gonna turn loose Ian Book and get a feel for whether or not he's your quarterback for 2018, this is a good defense to do it against before facing Stanford next weekend.
And this is the kid that did lead the victory over LSU in the Citrus Bowl. So he's battle-tested. I mean, I don't expect any nerves on the road in Winston-Salem. Typically Wake Forest plays teams tough, though, in Winston-Salem. Louisville, they push to the limit.
Yeah.
Push Florida State. I think it was last year, didn't they? They lost that ball game by 7 points. So they're in each and every ball game. We'll see how it plays out in about 5 minutes from today. I want to talk about one game later tonight. It is Mississippi State and Kentucky. Gabe likes Kentucky here. I just don't see it.
I don't either.
The physicality of the front seven guys by like Sweat and Simmons, they're only giving up, I mean, under 100 rushing yards per game. That's
85 to be exact.
That's the strength of Kentucky with Benny Snell. Now, Wilson's played well, but Nick Fitzgerald to me as well. And I honestly think Joe Moorhead is a hidden gem. I mean, he could be coach of the year this year, in my opinion. I think Mississippi State rolls here.
Well, I agree with you. It's under 10 at this point, and I have a lot of respect for what Stoops has done at Kentucky. Not easy to win at a basketball school. He's done it at a high level. Broke the 31-game losing streak to Florida. Huge. So they're off to a good season. They have some defensive playmakers. You mentioned Snell. Terry Wilson, the quarterback, is one of the fastest quarterbacks in the country. But if you're going to go against the Mississippi State defense, you need more out of the passing game. Kentucky does not have that. So I think they can key in on the back and really shut down Kentucky, number one. Number two, Nick Fitzgerald now has an important game under his belt, played very well last week. Kylan Hill running the ball. They're a physical downhill running team. And I agree with your assessment of Joe Moorhead. He reminds me of a more offensive-minded version of Paul Chryst. Very successful. Did a great job at Penn State. Did a great job at your alma mater, Fordham, which a lot of people don't realize. Did a terrific job for a program that was really on the downside and really rejuvenated with backs like Chase Edmonds. You know, so Moorhead's done a good job. I was on Mississippi State throughout the offseason. I think you were, too, as a team that will overachieve. And I think they go into Lexington and get a big victory.
What's interesting about Moorhead, I mean, this is a team that does face Alabama, you know, later in the year.
Where is that game? Is that in Tuscaloosa?
It's in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. You remember last year, Alabama was struggling. Ridley had the big play from Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter. They won that matchup by 7 points. The one thing that Joe Moorhead does, and we've seen it at Penn State with Saquon Barkley and James Franklin and his progression with Trace McSorley, he creates one-on-one opportunities with his playmakers in space. That you look at that Miss State Kansas State game, they had the perfect matchup every single time on third down, and they had one-on-one opportunities. It never once was Fitzgerald throwing into double coverage, and that's what possibly could challenge Alabama in that ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, looking down the road, that's a great matchup. I think Mississippi State is the next best thing to Alabama in the SEC West, which is saying a lot in a division that has A&M and Auburn and LSU. LSU obviously will have a lot to say about that as well, but I'm impressed by Mississippi State. I think they're very close to a complete team heading into Lexington tonight.
Yeah, before this game kicks off, Boston College-Purdue, I'm all over Purdue. Are you taking the points here in this
match? I am taking the points, Joe. I'm a little more leery because BC has won 11. I covered 11 straight regular season games.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a 12 o'clock kick, so keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello coming right back with the 3:30 and 7 o'clock games live from Studio 34.